Have you ever sat there and wondered, why does God let evil exist? Maybe you had a coworker and he or she didn't play by the rules, but they never got punished. Or even worse, you may work with somebody who bent the rules, took advantage of the situation, and prospered ahead of you, made more money than you. Or what about a manager who treats his employees poorly and then gets promoted? And he or she is one thing to some people, but you see what he or she does behind the scenes to somebody else. It is really hard, men, when we are trying to do the right thing. We are trying to live in obedience to God, and then we watch success happen to somebody else. So this morning, we're going to continue our study of the minor prophets. At the end of the Old Testament, there are 12 short books, and they contain a series of warnings for God's people. And so through these teachings, we're reminded of a few things. What God's commands are, the consequences for doing wrong, and that he has very high standards. And so today we're going to look at Habakkuk. Habakkuk lived in Jerusalem, we think, around 600 BC. And he wrote this book as a Babylonian invasion was imminent. You see, God's people were on the edge of being overtaken because they'd had many, many years of disobedience. And Habakkuk saw this happening. He knew what was about to happen. And he saw the injustice, and Habakkuk saw the evil. And so unlike the other minor prophets that we've studied, where God is speaking through that prophet to the people, the book of Habakkuk is actually a conversation between Habakkuk and God. And so Habakkuk is trying to reconcile that the world has evil and tragedy and injustice. And so he asked the question that Christian men and women have asked for years. Where is God's intervention when unjust rulers run unchecked? And so it's this back and forth. Habakkuk opens up questions to God, and then he sits here and waits for God's answer. So we're going to start in Habakkuk 1, verse 1. And it opens up the prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received. And the heading in my Bible said, Habakkuk's complaint. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. And so Habakkuk is complaining to God, and he's saying, how long do I have to call for help? You do not listen. You're not listening to me. The law is useless. Nobody's following it. No one is following the rules. Don't you see what is happening? The Torah is being neglected. Our leaders are corrupt. And so what is God's response here? Well, he tells Habakkuk that he is aware of the unjust. But then he throws in this curveball and says, don't worry, the army of Babylon will bring justice. So he says in verse 5, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. And then he goes on to lay out this plan of destruction that will come at the hands of the Babylonians. Now, this is a real head-scratcher for Habakkuk. And the reason why is that the Babylonians were not good people. And so sometimes as leaders, we might mistake God's patience for complacency. But this is a reminder that God does see the evil of man. And he also reminds us that we have severe consequences if we do not follow his laws. And so Habakkuk is really confused at this. And so he says, Babylon is worse. Are you kidding me? Like, here we are. We're asking for help, and you're going to send a country that is worse than us to help us? They're corrupt. They're more violent than we are. They treat people poorly. They destroy nations just to build up their empire. Why are you punishing unrighteous people's sin with someone who is more unrighteous than us? And then he says, I'm going to sit here, God, and wait for your response. Whenever you're ready, you answer this question for me. And God responds, the righteous people will live by his faithfulness. And so what God is saying to Habakkuk is, look, I know you are seeing unrighteousness. And yes, the Babylonians are not righteous either. In fact, everyone is equally unrighteous in my eyes. And the righteous are faithful and obedient to God, and none of y'all have been obedient to me. And so then we pick up in chapter 3, and he calls out to God, and he says, God, I know who you are. I've heard all about you. I've studied you. Where is that God that saves his people? And so in Habakkuk 3:2, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Repeat them in our day. He's saying, I know what you can do. Just do it. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. But then it takes this interesting twist. And he goes on to then say, as he's talking to God, but I do trust you. I know that you're a God that will stop evil and rescue the oppressed. And he includes with this, when the world is falling apart, I will choose to trust you. So at the end of chapter 3, Habakkuk says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. And so we can learn a lot from Habakkuk. First, he maintained a very high view of God's character. He certainly questioned him, but he did it in a respectful way, and then listened to God's answer, and then concluded with, I trust you. He also declared that he will continue to live in joy even in hard times, that he knows the wicked will not go unpunished, but he has to trust God to do it. It is not his job. And the righteous will live by faith, because God's plans are better, so we shouldn't doubt his goodness. So as we study Habakkuk, one of the minor prophets, we can see that no matter how dark and chaotic our world might be, Habakkuk is inviting us into this journey of faith where we can trust God, trust that he loves the world more than we can possibly imagine, and that one day he will deal with everything. But it's on his time, not our time. And so I think that's why Habakkuk, when he's having this conversation with God, he's asking questions and waiting for answers, he's able to end with this hopeful praise, right? The world is falling apart. We might have drought. We might have war. Leaders are corrupt. But I'm going to trust in your promise that everything will be fine in your time. And so Habakkuk becomes an example of how the righteous live by faith. And I think the biggest takeaway for us today, men at Leadership Ministries, is what does it mean to be a righteous leader? What does that mean? Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. And when the wicked rule, the people groan. But I like how the King James Version says, when the righteous are in authority. Right? When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. And then interestingly, Paul actually referenced Habakkuk in his letters, if you look in Romans and Galatians. So Romans 1:17, Paul writes, for in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So he is directly quoting Habakkuk in that letter. And then in the letter to the Galatians, clearly no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. This minor prophet had such an impact on Paul that he referenced him in his letters and as part of his ministry. And so, men, I think today this is what I want you to remember. A righteous leader has strong moral principles. They act with integrity and fairness, and they're committed to doing what's right. A righteous leader will prioritize the well-being of others. Many times we hear this referred to as servant leadership. A righteous leader is transparent and honest. A righteous leader takes accountability. A righteous leader leads by example. And so how do we know if as leaders, if we are righteous in Christ? Because we live and lead through obedience and faithfulness to God. Men, that is what we do as leaders. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the words of wisdom from Habakkuk. And we ask you continue to mold every man here in person and online into the righteous leaders that you intend for each of us to be in our home, in our family, in our community, in our place of work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Enjoy your tables.